Amen. It's good to be with you again this evening. I'm still enjoying the meal we had this afternoon. That was good. Thank all of you who had anything to do with preparing that and making it available. It was a very good time of fellowship. I appreciate you making your way here tonight. And if you'll turn with me in God's Word to the book of Romans chapter 2, that's where we will take our text. Romans chapter 2. While you turn, let me tell you of a few things as far as Kentucky Baptist history is concerned. We mentioned several of them already, but we have been privileged, the Baptist History Preservation Society, to date, to place four monuments in the state of Kentucky. We have more here than we have in any other state. Of course, several of the first that we placed were on the same trip. We usually do them on our Baptist History Tour. They're in the same cemetery, and it's there in the Frankfort Cemetery. We mentioned the fact that John Gonneau is buried there in Frankfort Cemetery. He's a Baptist preacher that baptized Washington and was pastor of the First Baptist Church in New York City and then came to Kentucky to plant churches. God did use him here. And beside of him in the same plot, the D.A.R. plot there in Frankfort, would be William Hickman. And Hickman was the first Baptist preacher to preach on the soil in Kentucky. And God used him to start numerous churches and pastored for many years the Forks of Elkhorn Baptist Church near Frankfort. And he is said still to this date, his preaching was so effective that he still baptized more converts than any other preacher that has labored in Kentucky. So that's quite a feat. Just outside of Lexington in Richmond is the monument for Andrew Tribble. We mentioned him this morning. He was the Baptist preacher that met with Thomas Jefferson, and Jefferson told him that the democracy that he saw in the Baptist church is what they would base the new government upon. So Baptists have had a profound effect upon the founding of the United States, and we are grateful that we live in a country that practices the form of government that we do. That's a long way from where it was, but folks, if you've done any traveling at all, you know that we still live in the best country on the face of the earth, and we're grateful for what God has done, and he used Baptist people to get us to the point of founding this country in the United States. And of course, the fourth marker is there in Versailles, Kentucky, and it's placed at the Clear Creek Baptist Church, and John Taylor was the first pastor there. He traveled Kentucky planting churches and wrote a history book called The History of 10 Churches, the churches that he had started and pastored. And it is a good early history, not only of the Baptist faith in Kentucky, but of Kentucky itself. And it's generally used by even folks in secular universities to talk of the early days of Kentucky history. And we placed a monument there. And when we talk about monuments, some of you have seen them. We are talking about a piece of granite that stands 8 feet tall. It's 4 feet wide, 8 inches thick. It usually has writing on both sides, giving a detailed description of the person, place, or event. And it's something that we hope will be there till Jesus comes and call great attention to our faith. But that marker is in Versailles, Kentucky, at the Clear Creek Baptist Church. So I just wanted to make known a little to you about how much your heritage means and how God has used it. It's been effectual in helping others, not only in Kentucky, but in this country and around the world. You really have an exemplary faith here as far as your Baptist heritage is concerned. Tonight, we are talking about the print that you see in front of me and behind me on the screen, and it is called A Meeting Never to Be Forgotten. And it is about the life of Isaac McCoy, a scene from his life. McCoy was a missionary to the American Indians, and God used him in a great way. And we'll talk about that in the message tonight. Romans chapter 2, if you'll stand with me as we read. Romans 2, beginning with verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Let's pray. Father, it is good to be here in this place tonight. God, we're thankful that you are in our midst. God, we pray that you'd bless, that you'd encourage the saints who have made their way here. Lord, I pray that you'd use your word, that you'd use the stories of our heritage, Lord, that you'd use the life of your faithful servant, Isaac McCoy, to be a help, an inspiration to these saints as they live for thee. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. There are two words that we would like to examine within the text of Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, which we just finished reading. Those words are patience and long-suffering. And of course, we see in verse 7, the Bible says, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. The word patient here, if we examine it throughout the Scriptures, we will find that 33 times in the Word of God, the word patience is used, and an additional 17 times the variations of that word is to be found in Scripture. And what does it mean to be patient? To be patient means that one endures, to hold out, to wait. It means Christian submission to the divine will, enduring without anger or revenge. And it's enduring what one cannot change. And when we examine the word patience in Scripture, that's exactly how it is used. And when we think of patience as it is applied to our service for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to keep in mind that we must serve Him because He has asked us to serve Him, and we must serve Him patiently, especially when it comes to this idea of preaching or the work of missions. Well, folks, we cannot save souls. We can only preach the Word of God. We can only give folks the gospel. And we've got to be patient and let the Lord Jesus Christ do His work in their hearts. Well, we have no control over whether someone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ or not. We cannot make a church plant successful. We cannot see large numbers of people converted like we'd like at times. And you will get word from the missionaries that you support on the field, and at times they will have wonderful news to report concerning those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And at other times they almost lament, saying, we have labored and we have toiled and we have preached the gospel, but it seems people just won't believe. Well, what do? They keep preaching the gospel, and they keep laboring, and they keep serving God where He has called them. That's being patient, realizing that some things are just out of their control. And when we talk about the life of Isaac McCoy, this Baptist preacher who God used to preach the gospel to the Native Americans, his life indeed was a life that was marked by patience. And he preached to a people who did not appreciate him. In most cases, he preached to a people that refused to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was faithful to do so. Now, like many who go and start a new work, it would be a long time before folks would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, before they would see the sincerity of the one who was preaching. before they'd realize that he did care for their souls and that he wanted their good. Isaac McCoy, of course, was born in Pennsylvania, Uniontown, Pennsylvania, the year 1784. His father moved him then to Kentucky. And it was while in this state, in Kentucky, that Isaac McCoy believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And his father, not long afterwards, would move into Indiana, where he would pastor the Silver Creek Baptist Church, which was the first Baptist church started in the state of Indiana. And of course, that is the church where McCoy was ordained to the gospel ministry. And Isaac was sent out from that place to western Indiana, to Vincennes, where he would pastor the Moriah Creek Baptist Church. And while he was there in that place, he came in contact with the Indians, and he believed that God would have him to give his life to preach the gospel to them. He saw that they had no friends. People didn't really care for their souls, and he wanted to preach the gospel to them and do that mission work, and he did. He would, after surrendering to that work, move north into Indiana to the area of Fort Wayne. You can go there today to the First Baptist Church, for he is the one who started the First Baptist Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and it is still in existence. You can see the monument that we were privileged to place there. And, Preacher, I think you might have been on, I'm not sure if you were on that trip or not, where we placed that monument in Indiana to Isaac McCoy, but there, memorializing the work which God used him to do. If you're ever that way, we'd encourage you. In fact, wherever you travel, we'd encourage you to see those sites that are associated with the Baptist. Take your children and your grandchildren by and show them just what God did and how he used the saints of days gone by. But McCoy labored there in Fort Wayne, and he preached the gospel, and he didn't meet with much success. You know what? It's sad, but we are a people that seem to be driven by success at times, and we think unless we can see numbers that God's not doing anything, and that's not always the case, for God wants faithfulness, and he wants us to be where he has put us, doing what he has called us to do, regardless of the results. And folks, we leave the results to him. And a good story in Baptist history that illustrates that concerns those Baptist brothers, Lewis Craig, Elijah Craig, Joseph Craig. All three of them persecuted Baptists there in Virginia. All three of them made their way to Kentucky. And they pastored Baptist churches here in this place. And on one occasion, the three of them were talking, and Lewis and Elijah said to Joseph, "We don't know whether God's ever really called you to preach, because in the last 20 years, we can only think of one person that's been saved under your ministry." And Joseph said, "Well, praise the Lord for that one. I would gladly preach another 20 years if God would give me one more." And folks, that's the way we ought to approach what it is that God has called us to do, to be faithful in that word and leave the results to God. And folks, that's the way that it should be. That's the way it was with Isaac McCoy. The work was hard. He had to sacrifice. He had no fellow laborers. He had to endure the work that God called him to do. He did labor there in Fort Wayne. And he would preach to the Indians. He started a school in his home to train those young Indian children. And the Indians would bring their children to him and just leave the children with Isaac and his wife, Christiana. And they would not only care for those children, but they'd preach and teach Jesus to them. And it was among those children where they would see their first converts. But Isaac didn't stay there in the Fort Wayne area. He would travel. He'd go into the Michigan Territory, and he would start mission stations there. You can go to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and you can see the Gerald Ford Museum there in Grand Rapids. And at the northeast corner of that museum, you'll find a memorial that marks the spot where Isaac McCoy started his Thomas Mission Station there among the Indians. God would use him in that place. The earliest Baptist churches started in Michigan were started by Isaac McCoy. God would cause him to know great hardship as he made his way there, often laboring during the winter, sleeping outside on the ground in the snow and in the rain, living among those Indians. The Indians would feed him things that he wasn't even sure what he was eating. He said at times they'd put something in front of him and he could see things moving in what they had given him. And he said it was either eat or never be effective among those Indians as far as preaching the gospel. He said he'd just eat, and he'd trust God to take care of him. Think about all of the sacrifice that a man like Isaac McCoy made. And he did it because he wanted to please the Lord. He did it because he cared for the soul of the Native Americans. And he did it with patience. He had to endure a lot. He had to endure death among his own family. Whenever he surrendered to preach the gospel to the Indians, he began to travel to some of the churches, coming back to his father's church and making known what he was going to do, traveled among some of the other churches in the country that were established, asking them to support him on this work of preaching the gospel to the Indians. Basically, he was on deputation. And while he was away from home, his oldest child, a daughter, sickened and died. And he said that he believed that God allowed that to happen so that he and his wife could more fully trust God to endure anything and to give up anything for the work which God had called them to do. And it was a good thing that they had agreed to be patient in that manner, that they had agreed to consecrate their lives to the Lord in such a way, because during his ministry, he and his wife buried 11 of their 14 children. 11 of their 14 children. And folks, that's what the scene that you see before you is about. The occasion is the death of his oldest son, Rice McCoy. Now, this would happen some years later. But keep in mind that the ministry of Isaac McCoy was marked with patience. You know what the scripture speaks of about patience. We look and just examine a few verses. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, and the word of God says in verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Of course, there are examples of patience given here on the pages of God's Word. In fact, in your King James Bible, the definition of patience, you see, is right here in the text. Verse 11, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." And that's the definition of patience, the scriptural definition. It gave the example of the prophets who suffered. They could not free themselves from that suffering. Job had no choice over the matter of what the Lord allowed to befall him. The only choice he had was to endure, and to endure with the right attitude. Think of all of those people that we mentioned this morning as Baptists who suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ. They had to endure that suffering. John Bunyan, who spent 12 years in prison, he had to endure that imprisonment with patience because he couldn't change it. Those who were led to the place of their deaths, burned at the stake, those who had their heads severed from their bodies, those who were placed in a sack and drowned for their Baptist faith, they had to endure what was going to befall them with patience because they could not change. And once a man like Isaac McCoy had surrendered to preach the gospel to the American Indians, he too had to endure. He had to endure what would befall him. And folks, we make choices in our lives. Choices to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us will do so in ministry. Others will be faithful to serve the Lord in a different work. But God has called each of us to serve Him and to be faithful. And wherever we serve Him, there will be things that we'll have to endure. Things that we might not have chosen for ourselves. Things that we do not enjoy. but we endure them for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. We endure them for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. At times, Isaac McCoy and his wife had to bury a child. At times, they had to endure health problems. They would very often be sick and think the sickness was unto death. What would they do? They glorify God that He allowed them to serve Him at all. They would toil among those Indians and they'd get no thanks, no gratitude for what they did. And still they persevered. Often they'd know hunger. And if we read the story of Isaac McCoy, some of the greatest answers to prayer that you have ever read are to be found in his journal, where he talks about the entire school having nothing to eat and them praying, and the next day God would have someone drive a herd of cattle into town or a herd of hogs and say, "This is what we want to give to help you in your work that you're doing." God would always provide, but it was patience. They'd have to endure their calling. They'd have to endure their lives and their station in life to please the Lord and to serve Him. Patience. And that's one word that we find in Romans chapter 2. But I'd call your attention to verse 4 of the same chapter. The Scripture says, "Or despiseth thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" And the Scripture here uses the word in verse 4, longsuffering. And the two are not the same. Now, we mention, if your King James Bible will use this word patience and its variations 50 times. The word longsuffering is used 17 times in the Word of God. Now, if you've got a modern Bible version, you don't need to look for that word longsuffering because you'll not find it. It's been removed, and it's almost always changed to patience. But, folks, there's a difference in the Scripture. The word longsuffering, 13 of the 17 times that it's used, is used to describe God. You do not serve a patient God. You know why? Because God can change anything He wants at any time. What you serve is a longsuffering God. And longsuffering means to endure what you have the power to change, what you can control. And an illustration of that, if you'll look with me over to Genesis 6, and we'll run a few scripture references. In Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says there in verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." And look with me then over to 1 Peter. The Scripture gives a commentary about that very event in 1 Peter chapter 3. The Bible says, verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, a just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water." The long-suffering of God. Now, God could have destroyed those people instantly over there in Genesis chapter 6. But you see the long-suffering of God. He allowed Noah to preach for 120 years. He gave those people an opportunity to repent. He gave them an opportunity to change their ways. That's long-suffering. God could have put an end to it immediately, but He waited. He endured. He made the decision to do so. And that's long-suffering. Folks, we also find in the Scripture that 4 times when the word long-suffering is used, it's used to apply to the saints. That we ought to be like God. We ought to be long-suffering. You know that's one of the fruits of the Spirit there in Galatians chapter 5, something that ought to be manifest in the life of the Christian. And there in Matthew chapter 18, where it talks about church discipline and how that we ought to go and talk to our brother if we have been offended, that we ought to take a witness if they are unwilling to hear, and lastly, bring them before the church. Do you see that that's a pattern of long-suffering? It's being like God, not immediately taking matters into our hands as a church, which we could do, and voting someone out, but giving them an opportunity to be right and to do right and to have fellowship restored. That's long-suffering. And we find in the life of Isaac McCoy, and folks, Isaac McCoy is just an example of many who have exhibited these qualities of patience and long-suffering in their lives. And saints, at times you will exhibit the same qualities. There will be times you'll have to exercise patience. Things will happen to you over which you have no control. When the doctor tells you that you have some disease or some illness that you didn't choose, of which you were not aware, and that you have to endure that, you'll have to endure it with patience. But at times, you'll have to manifest long-suffering in your lives. There will be things that you can control and things that you could change if you were a mind to, but you have to decide, no, I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to wait. I'm going to endure this, and I'm going to do it for the glory of God. It was that way with Isaac McCoy. He endured his station in life with long-suffering. He could have walked away and said, these people don't care for my preaching. These people don't care for my Lord. These people are not concerned with their souls, and I'm just going to quit. But he didn't. He stayed faithful as long as he lived. His last words were, brethren, don't let the missions to the Indians decline. He was long-suffering to the end. There were times whenever the Indians attacked his own family, nearly killing one of his daughters. He could have walked away then and said, if they're going to treat me this way, I'm not going to have anything to do with them. But he was long-suffering. He made the choice to stay and to preach the gospel to them. Everywhere that they were forced to move, Isaac McCoy moved with them. And if it were not for Isaac McCoy being long-suffering, being obedient to what God called him to do, there probably would not be any Native Americans alive today. You see, the white man was pushing them further and further west. McCoy understood that unless something was done so that the Indians would have a place where they could live all their own that could never be taken from them, they'd be annihilated. And McCoy would start making trips to Washington. He'd meet with three different presidents. He made 13 trips there and appeared before Congress, petitioning them for an Indian territory. And his desire became a reality. He and his sons went to Oklahoma, and they surveyed the entire area of Oklahoma today for use by the Indians, the Indian territory there. Had it not been for McCoy, the Indians would have died. They would have perished. Why did he want them alive? So he could preach Jesus to them and see them saved. And that's the reason he did what he did. The Indian territory was his idea. The reservations, that was the idea of Isaac McCoy. You say, I don't like the idea of reservations. Well, perhaps it doesn't seem like a good thing, but the alternative was much, much worse. And McCoy was able to live among them, and they knew that he cared for them, and it got to the point where they trusted this preacher. The longer that he preached and the longer that he labored, and when he put his life on the line for these people, some of them understood. Some of them believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the end of his ministry, literally thousands upon thousands of the American Indians had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Entire villages trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. He started churches among them from Indiana into Michigan, on out to to Oklahoma, where he'd start the First Baptist Church in that place. And you can go to Chicago and you can find a memorial that says that the first gospel message ever preached in that place was by the Baptist preacher Isaac McCoy. If you go to Kansas City, there in the heart of the old town, you'll find a monument erected to the son of Isaac McCoy, for it was Isaac and his son John McCoy who founded the town of Kansas City. They were pioneers, making it to those places among the Indians, preaching the gospel. And on this occasion, this print that you see before you does give one of the scenes in the life of McCoy upon the death of one of his children. While he was in Washington petitioning Congress, he got notification that his oldest son, Rice, was sick and probably would not live. He began to make his way across the country, and when he reached Cincinnati, he received word that indeed Rice had gone to be with the Lord. He records in his journal that when he finally made it to the place where they were living there in Kansas City at the time, that it was a meeting never to be forgotten. He said every face was suffused with tears. Every bosom heaved with sighs. This was the seventh of their children at this point that had died. And they believed that this event God would use to help them serve the Lord more effectively. Folks, that's patience and it's long-suffering. Willing to endure and willing to remain. Willing to put up with everything that man and the Lord would allow to befall them. And willing to do so with the idea that we are going to stay and we're going to serve God. We learn from the life of Isaac McCoy. He didn't look for a kingdom here. He didn't look for great riches here. In fact, this was the idea, and I take this from the sketch that's written to go along with the print. McCoy wrote, "Missions to the Indians are unpopular things. And he who does not possess resources within himself to work alone or with few associates, to sow much and reap little, to work hard without the reward of worldly honor or money, to remain poor all his life for the sake of making the almost friendless Indians rich, and to wait for his pay until he shall get to heaven, had better not enter upon a mission to the Indians." Folks, that's long-suffering. That's enduring. That submission to the calling of God and the work of God, even though you know that you're not going to receive much from it, even though you know that those to whom you minister will not always be grateful, even though you know you're going to have to wait to heaven to receive your reward. And folks, that's the difference. And there is a difference in Scripture between patience and long-suffering. And in almost every Christian's life, there will be times that we will have to exhibit patience, and there will be times that we must exhibit long-suffering. McCoy is a good illustration of that. Job in the Old Testament, the martyrs that we find on the pages of God's Word and on the pages of history, many saints who have gone before could be used as examples of this as well, but the example before us tonight is that of Isaac McCoy. And what will we learn, saints? Would we say, "God, help me. I'll endure what I cannot change. God, I'll endure with grace what I can change. God, if you'll help me, I'll be patient. God, if you'll help me, I'll be long-suffering. God, help me to be what you'd have me to be. Help me to be more like thee." And folks, that ought to be our prayer. And saints, I would encourage you to keep doing what you do here. You've had to endure things as individuals, and you've had to endure things as a church. That'll never change. It'll be that way as long as you live. Some of you will get word this year that circumstances are such that you'll have to endure with patience. And perhaps things will befall the church, or befall you as a Christian,
that will require you to exercise long-suffering, to act with mercy and to act with grace. What will you do? You'll do what you should do, because that's what the Word of God demands. It's what the Word of God teaches. It's what God Himself expects. The idea behind this print is to give an illustration of these two great qualities from the Scripture that we have talked about this evening. And I encourage you, saints, to keep serving God, regardless of the results that you see, or you won't see all the results until you get to heaven. Keep serving God in spite of what He allows to come your way. Keep serving God in spite of what people think of you, in spite of what they say of you. Keep serving God. At times you'll have to do it with patience, and always with long suffering. Let's stand as we pray.